But today I want you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8, starting at verse 5. And the message that I want to share today was inspired by some events that happened this week. And I'll get into that just a little bit later. But it's just amazing how God can speak to you right when you need it. Sometimes we want the answer a little bit in advance because we like to plan ahead. We like to be prepared. But sometimes God will give you that answer at the exact moment that you need it. And you have to step by faith. You know, I believe when Moses was standing in front of the Red Sea, I don't believe that he knew exactly what was going to happen when he got there. I don't think God told him in advance, hey, when you get to the Red Sea, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to part the waters. You're going to walk through on dry ground. I don't believe that that was part of a plan. I believe Moses got there, and by faith, he stood in front of that water and said, God's going to get us through this. You got the Egyptians are behind him, and they're pursuing them. And I believe at that moment, God spoke to him and said, part the water. And that water parted, and they parted on, and they walked across on dry ground. God will speak to you in the moment that you need it. Matthew chapter 8, I want to talk about a man in the Bible who amazed Jesus. And let's read in chapter 5, and we'll talk about that for just a little bit. Starting in verse 5, it says, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed in terrible suffering. Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. The centurion replied, Lord, I don't deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. He was amazed. And he said to those following him, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Wow. And I'm sure Jesus met a lot of people. The Bible said there were crowds around him. There were people that gathered to hear him. Multitudes is a word that the Bible used to describe the people that Jesus came in contact with. And this centurion, he is amazed by this centurion. Amazed. Who amazes Jesus? He's God. And the fact that Jesus came to earth in form of a man is amazing in itself. What could amaze God? He was there when the worlds were formed. He was there when Adam took his first breath. He was there for every key moment we know about in the Bible. But yet this centurion amazed him by his faith. That word that they use in the Bible is the Greek word thamazo, and it means to be marveled, astounded, amazed, to admire. Jesus admired this soldier for his faith. Now, when I told you that this message took a turn this week, I want to tell you the little story behind that. Melanie lost a friend a couple weeks ago to cancer. Someone that she went to school with. And it's always difficult when you lose someone that's close to your age because it really hits home. She went to the funeral and learned that, you know, and Melanie had been following her case on Facebook and everything else, and Lori had gotten a strong connection to God again through this illness, and renewed her faith, renewed her strength in her faith, and God was doing things in her life, bringing her close to him. And in her Bible, her husband had the Bible at the funeral and was reading it, or someone had it, someone brought it, and was reading out of it some of the things that she had written in the margin. And they read this passage there at the funeral. And in the margin, out beside where it said that Jesus was amazed by this man's faith, she wrote, do I amaze God? Just that sentence, do I amaze God? And the moment that Melanie told me that, sitting in my room, of course she gets emotional and she starts crying. That don't help my case because I start immediately crying. But I felt an immediate conviction in my heart. Some of you might have felt it when I said that to you. Do I amaze God? Just an immediate conviction in my heart because I knew. I didn't have to think. I didn't have to ponder that. I didn't have to give that much thought to think, do I amaze God? And that was a very important question to me, because Jesus is very important to me. My relationship with Christ is the most important thing in my life. There's nothing that comes before him. Not supposed to. And that's my desire. That's what I want. It's not that I feel like I have to put him ahead of everything else. I desire to put him above everything else. I don't always do it. And sometimes I choose other things. But it is my desire that he be number one in my life. He's important to me. And to think, do I amaze God? You know, as a father, and having a father in my life, we always want to make our fathers proud. It's kind of a guy thing. It's just we want our fathers to be proud of us. We want to earn his respect. We want to earn his pride in us. And when my father tells me that he's proud of me, that means a lot to me. And I'm sitting here speaking in front of him, and I'm nervous, because we have a desire for our father to be proud of us. I have a desire for Father God to be proud of me as his son. I want him to look at me and be amazed at his son. And this centurion told him, you don't have to come to my house. I'm not worthy to have you under my roof. And we learn in Luke gives a historical and chronological account. We realize in Matthew that he talked to this centurion, but we don't realize how he sent a messenger. He wouldn't even come to him in person because he didn't feel worthy. He had heard about Jesus. He knew who he was. He'd heard about the exploits. He'd heard about the miracles. He had heard about how powerful this man Jesus was. And he wasn't worthy to be in his presence. So he sent a messenger. And immediately Jesus starts walking that way. And when he was there, when he was on his way, he was met by another servant and said, no, you don't even have to come. And this faith that this centurion had amazed Jesus. But I wanted to talk just for a moment about conviction, because this really brought a conviction to my heart. And I think that the conviction is something that I feel the church is losing slowly. And it's a sad thing, because conviction is a wonderful thing. Conviction is what brings us to a point where conviction is where we see ourselves through the eyes of God. For just a moment, we can see ourselves the way that God sees us. And when we see things that are out of line, when we see things that are not quite right. And so, you know, it's hard to look at our own self sometimes and see the things that need correcting. Many times we don't want to admit to ourselves that there's a problem or that there's a need for correction. And so when we see ourselves through the eyes of someone else, that helps us come to a place where we're ready to change. Amen? It's almost like an awakening happens. That's what conviction is. There's no condemnation through Christ Jesus. It's a conviction. And you know what? I can't bring conviction to you. It comes from the Holy Spirit. It's a work that happens inside, from inside, when God says, something's not right, son. Something's not right, daughter. It's a conviction. And that helps us to be a better Christian. That helps us to be a better person, because we in this life need to live Christianity with conviction. We need to live with conviction. Because if you walked into an establishment, a business, and all of a sudden you walk in, but you didn't feel like any employee believed in their product. You didn't feel like any of the employee or even the owner believed in the product that they were selling. They weren't quite comfortable, or they shuffled their feet because they didn't quite believe in it. Would you buy that product? Would you participate in that program if you didn't feel that the people worked there even believed in it? I loved it whenever I went to go buy a car. I talked to Jacob. I said, Jacob, you work on cars. What do you drive? I wanted to know what he drove, because I knew he worked on them every day. And he knew what the good cars were and what the bad cars were. I wanted to know. That's always interesting to me. Do the people that make the products use their own products? Do the Christians who speak the word live the word? Because it's easy to say something, but it's a whole other story to live it. That's conviction. Preaching is one thing. Living it is conviction. And that's what I want to have. And that's what this brought to me, was when I heard, do I amaze God? With my words, with my actions, with my faith, do I amaze God? I found myself wanting. I found myself wanting to be in that place where I amaze God, but I didn't feel like I was in that place. And this centurion amazed God. I real quickly, I just want to read a scripture about conviction just so I can place it in the Word of God. I like using the Word of God to substantiate everything that I say, because my words are just words, but His Word is life. And so John 16:8 says, "And He, when He comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." And in Acts 2:37, it says, "Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do?'" That was me. That was me Thursday morning. And I stood there with conviction, and it pierced my heart to hear. And I said, "What shall I do, Lord? What shall I do?" And it's funny to me, because Jesus had just finished the Sermon on the Mount when He spoke to this centurion. He had just got through speaking to the people and was bringing conviction to them, because He was telling them all the things. "You've heard this. Well, I say this. You said you've heard eye for an eye, but I tell you to turn the other cheek." Ouch. When they were ready to condemn someone to death for what they did, Jesus is saying, "Give them another chance." That brought conviction to them. So it was ironic to me that just happened all around the same time. Hallelujah. So I asked myself, do I amaze God? It's a hard question, because we know what the answer is. I knew the very minute I heard the words. Now, don't confuse this with the love of God this morning, because God loves everybody. It doesn't matter if you amaze God or not, He loves you. He cares about you. He died for you. So don't confuse that this morning. We're talking about people that stand out to God, people that do something or have a level of faith that stand out to God. This is not a question of favorites, because the only favorite that God has is everybody. Amen? We're all God's favorites. But this is just people that stand out. And this is an account of scripture where we see where God was amazed. That's not something that you hear about a lot. We know that the people were amazed by God. That says it all throughout scripture. It says that they were amazed by His word. They were astounded by the miracles. They were amazed. They were amazed. God amazes us all the time, because God is amazing. Amen. But it's not very often that you hear the creator of the universe is amazed. And that's just very important to me. But I believe that there were other people in the Bible that amazed God. It didn't say necessarily that they amazed Him, but if they didn't amaze, they definitely impressed God. And I wanted to go over a few of these today so that we can kind of relate to some of these people and find out what it is about them that was so special, so unique. So let's start with David. The Bible calls David a man after God's own heart. I think that's pretty special. To single out David to say that he was a man after my own heart. And you know what? You might have met people like that in your life, where you find a kindred spirit, someone that just feels the same way you do about a lot of things, people that love some of the same things that you do. I found that person for me when I was in Florida. We had a youth pastor come to our church. I was the worship leader there. And when I first met him, I got a weird first impression. And I didn't really like him all that much. I thought he was kind of a weird fellow. And I thought, I don't know if this is going to work out. So we went to Cracker Barrel to eat. I wanted to get to know the guy, right? That's what we do. You give people a chance, right? Don't just write somebody off the first time you meet them. So I went to Cracker Barrel and we eat. And I said, "So what are the things you like?" One of the first things he said was Star Trek. And I said, "Welcome aboard." You know, I was like, that's a man after my own heart. And David was a man after God's own heart. And that is important to me, because I would love God to say that of me. I would love for God to say, "You know what, Daniel, man, I really like that Daniel. I created him, and he's a man after my own heart." So I look at some of the things about David. David was a worshiper. David loved to worship God, to minister to God with his instrument, with his harp. David was a man that didn't back down when people challenged God, when people tried to defile. We look at the story of David and Goliath, and he was appalled by Goliath. When everyone else was cowering down and everyone else was saying, "This is too much. He's too strong. We're scared." He was like, "We serve God. Have you read the footnote of how powerful He is? Have you got that memo? This is God, and I'm not going to allow Him to defile my God. Is there not a cause?" David said. And there was. And David fought for it, and he won. But God loved David. He watched him as a young shepherd boy, and he saw great things in him. When everyone else saw a shepherd boy, God saw a king. And I like that. When Samuel came in there and all the Jesse's sons were standing there and all these fine young men that were strong, well-spoken, intelligent young men. And he was like, you got any more? Because God said no to all of these. And he said, well, there's David. He's out in the shepherd field. And he said, that's the one. So David, God loves the underdog. Amen. Aren't you glad God loves the underdog? The Bible's full of underdogs. But God loved David. God was amazed by David, I believe that. David wasn't ashamed of God. Even when his own wife was ridiculing him for the way that he worshiped, he said, woman, I can be even more undignified than this. He was not ashamed. David was not ashamed of God. And I think those things are special to God. He was sold out. Zacchaeus, we find in Luke 19. Zacchaeus had a lot of wealth, a lot of power. He's a tax collector, but he was not liked by a lot of people. He was hated by people, the Bible says, because he collected their money. He was probably really hard on them, collected even when it was hard. But he heard Jesus was coming in town, and again, he heard about Jesus, and he had a hunger. I believe that in Zacchaeus' heart, that wealth was not enough. I believe in Zacchaeus' heart, that power was not enough for him. He wanted more. He wanted what Jesus had. I believe that he heard about Jesus and he heard he was coming and he was a short man. We heard, you know, we all know the song. Wee little man was he. And the Bible says that he climbed up in a sycamore tree. And when Jesus saw him, he said, Zacchaeus, come on. We're going to your house. And Zacchaeus gave half of his possessions to the poor. And Jesus said, salvation has come to this household. Amen. I believe that Zacchaeus amazed God with his faith, with his desire to be after him, to chase after him. There was the woman with the issue of blood who had tried all the doctors, who had done everything she could do to cure herself. But in a last resort, even in a last resort, she comes to find Jesus just to touch his garment, and she is healed. And Jesus says, who touched me? You know, and his disciples are looking around going, what are you talking about? We're in a crowded room. How in the world could you ask who touched me? Because he felt the power. He felt the faith that woman had drawn the power that was in Jesus. And it amazed him. The Canaanite woman that came to Jesus. This is a powerful story of faith. She came to Jesus and said, my daughter's demon-possessed, and she needs to be healed. Would you heal my daughter? And he says, I have come for the children of Israel. She was a Canaanite woman. She would have been considered a Gentile, not who Jesus came for at that time. The Gentiles were to come later. Jesus wasn't there to minister to her. And he said, it's wrong for you to give a child's bread to a dog. And she said, yes, Lord. But even the dogs can eat the crumbs from the master table. And that moved the heart of God. You know, she could have stopped at that point and walked on. Jesus could have told her that, and that would have been offensive to her. That would have been offensive to you, to me. If a minister had said, you know what, I didn't come for you. I didn't come for you, your people. I came for my people. And she could have stopped there, and she could have walked away. And I believe many of us come to that place. We come to church and something offends us. Or we come to a situation in life, it beats us down. Or we fail at something. Or we feel like we're not good enough. Or we feel like, I don't have that ability. I don't have that talent. I must not be worthy. And we stop there. But that woman in her faith said, yes, but even the dogs. She even acknowledged what she was to him. Even the dogs can eat crumbs from the master's table. That amazed God. And the Bible says that her daughter was healed. Jacob wrestled with God. Wouldn't let him go until he blessed him. And he said, you're blessed because you wrestled with God, you wrestled with man and won. So I ask you, do you amaze God? Or better yet, ask yourself, do I amaze God? Because it doesn't matter if you answer me. This is a very personal question. This is something that you need to ask yourself. This is something you need to ask yourself. Do I amaze God? To be completely honest with you this morning, and as I was preparing for this message, it really hit me. it dawned on me that there's an expectation that God has of us. There's an expectation of faith that God has of us. If God can be amazed by us, by our faith, in a positive way, and the Bible says there's another time where he was amazed. It was when he returned home. And he couldn't perform any miracles there because of their lack of faith. And the Bible says he was amazed at their lack of faith. Wow. I don't want to amaze him that way. I don't want God to come in here and say, I'm just amazed that you've seen all these things. You've heard all these things. You have read about all of these things, but yet you don't believe. I'm amazed that you don't believe it. I don't want him, but that tells me that God has an expectation that there's somewhere in the middle right there that he expects us all to be. He expects us to believe in him. He expects us to believe in his word. He even expects us to believe in miracles. That there's an expectation that there's a standard that he's okay with. That if we all were in that middle zone, he would be okay. Because we believe. We believe in his son, that he is God, he is Lord of our life. But if we don't believe it, it's a negative amazed. If we go beyond that, his expectation, he's amazed by that. I don't want to be in that category. Even as a warning in Revelation to the church that was lukewarm, he said, you're not even hot or cold. I can't do anything with you. I spew you out of my mouth. He wants us to believe. He wants us to believe. Hallelujah. There's a movie that came out last year or a couple years ago called Little Boy. And just watching the previews, I've not seen this movie, but watching these previews of this movie, it excites me. Because there is a level of faith that this little boy has in this movie. And I've got a clip from this movie. I would like to show it. And but I want to set it up just a little bit because I couldn't show the whole clip. But this little boy had a relationship with his father. And they would play together. And he would say things like, do you believe we can do this? And he goes, I believe, Daddy, I believe. And that was kind of their thing. And as the course throughout the movie, he learns a little bit more about faith. He learns a little bit more about believing. There's this minister that comes into his life and talks about faith and about moving mountains. And there's a scene where he wants his dad to come back from the war. And in the course of all of this, there's some ridicule happening because he believes that his faith can bring his daddy home. This boy has so much faith that he believes that he can bring his daddy home. And there's some people that are challenging that. And he tells them, I can move mountains with my faith. This little boy was adamant. He has such faith to believe that he could even move the mountain. And they challenge him. And I want us to show that really quick. If we can pull that up and watch the scene from Little Boy. You think that boy has any doubt now that he could bring his father home with his faith? That moves my heart. And the Bible even talks about the faith of a child. And I believe with all of my heart that we can move mountains. The Bible says it just takes the faith of a mustard seed. That's a really small seed. Let's stand to our feet, and I'd like to have the musicians come as I close. I want to amaze God, church. Not to glorify me. Not to say, hey, look what I've done. I'm on the A list. That means nothing to me. But he's Father God, and I want my daddy to be proud of me. I want my father in heaven to look down and say, I'm so pleased, I'm so happy, I'm so excited that you finally get it. And you know what? I believe that there are a lot of people that do. Many of you in this room may have amazed God at one time or another. But don't stop. Don't stop trying. Don't stop fighting. Don't stop believing. I encourage everyone in this room today, if that's you this morning, if you want to amaze God, you want to go beyond his expectation, beyond his standard. You see, I've got a feeling that a lot of people in the church, maybe even a lot of churches, they might be on that negative side. That we got to bring ourselves back up to the standard. And that's a sad reality. But before we can even begin to amaze God, we've got to at least believe. We've got to have some level of faith to begin with. You might be in this room this morning and you may have never even accepted Jesus as your Savior. You need to come up to the standard. You need to come to a place where you believe in Him. You need to come to a place where you know God. And I encourage you this morning, this altar is open as we sing this song. I believe in you. I believe in you, the God of miracles, this morning. And it doesn't matter what situation you have in your life, He is the God of miracles. And I believe, just like that little boy standing in front of that mountain, and he put his hands out and he pulled on that mountain with his faith. And I believe this morning in the God of miracles.